This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into a bad Tiki Thursday here on WFAN in New York City. Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. Lot to discuss, including the main culprit on why the Knicks lost last night. And no, it's not Josh Hart fouling. We will help Aaron Rodgers find a new home if you want him off this team, and how the Tampa Bay Rays are going to help the New York Yankees keep Juan Soto. But I've got bad news for you, and I think they have come to this conclusion basically over doing a lot of Rico Bronyas over the last few weeks and studying the Met roster and studying the offseason and studying what happened. 2024 was a great year. All right, everybody had a fun time. It was wonderful. It was amazing. No regrets. NLCS. They went as far as they could. When you look closer, the Mets were not that good last year. And this offseason, to me, is a lot similar to 2000 and to 2001. They have to have a huge offseason. The idea that the Mets could run it back or even run it back slightly, that is nuts. When Jerry Seinfeld said that the other day to Big Mac about the chemistry and the energy and we don't need the big superstar, respectfully, he's dead wrong. Like, the Mets had magic last year. Mm-hmm. They also had seasons that may not be replicated last year. So, in this calm before the storm of free agency, and it's not just Juan Soto, though he's a main name, the New York Mets need to do, to borrow a phrase, Tommy, damage. They need to do serious, serious damage, because I think we're being blinded by the fact, Tiki, that when you look back at what they accomplished, a lot of it was done with mirrors.
Well, it was, but it was also, and I said this all season long until it wasn't. It was an evaluation year.
Right.
But if you're evaluating this Mets team, you're also saying exactly what you're saying. All right, Jose Iglesias might not hit 380 for most of the season.
He also may not be on the team next season.
Well, exactly, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Like, how rare was it to get the seasons that you got from some of these guys? And some of the young guys, like Mark Vientos, maybe he is going to be a star. You can count on him going forward. But even though it became a non-evaluating season, it became a let's try to win this damn thing season, you also had to evaluate it. You also had to say, how valuable is Pete Alonso? And if Pete Alonso is not here and he goes somewhere else in free agency, how are we replacing his 40 home runs this season?
Right. Even in a down year, how do you replace that?
Exactly right. And so there's so much more that has to be done just to get close to what you did a year ago.
And the other thing that we can't take for granted, and I think the last 2 years prove this whole chemistry thing. Mm. 2 years ago, the Mets had the worst locker room in the world. And then last year, it was the greatest locker room in the world. None of us have any idea what that room is going to be in 2025.
Right.
Is it going to be amazing? Is it going to be awful? Is it going to be somewhere in the middle? So now you got to look at talent. Just to open up the hood a little bit and look underneath, the Mets have three free agents in their rotation. Jose Quintana, Luis Severino, and Sean Manaea. They threw 534 innings last year. 534. Mm. How the hell are you replacing that?
Right.
And re-signing them? I don't know if they're going to replace that. I don't know if those three guys would replicate that same number. Now, you could argue, but Ev, what about Kodai Senga? You're right. Kodai Senga should eat in to that 534 inning number because he barely pitched last year. And this year, the assumption is he'll be relatively healthy. Even with that, the Mets have to find a way in their rotation to replace 400 plus innings.
Right.
That's what they have to do. So, Met fans, let's make this clear. And we can debate on who the guy is. It's Max Fried, it's Blake Snell, it's Corbin Burns. That's a fun baseball argument. They need one of them. They need to go out and get one of the better pitchers available. That's number one, the rotation. And I think that one's the most obvious one. 94 starts are free agents this year in Quintana, Severino, and Manaea. How do you replace that?
The interesting thing, this is a question for you, Evan, is when you look at what happened last year and how successful it was and how it all came together, you get blinded sometimes.
I think a lot of Met fans are blinded right now, yeah.
As you talk about Steve Cohen and David Stearns having the ability to go spend as much money as they want to. Obviously, right now, they're focused on Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. But let's get past that. Whether they sign him or not, it doesn't even matter. Once they start really thinking about this roster and this team, or once you, if you're the GM, what's the priority? Outside of Juan Soto,
right.
What's the priority?
Well, Teak, here's what's complicated, because I want to answer that for you. They got a lot of priorities.
Yes, I know.
They have a lot of holes they need to fill, even off of a year like last year. And I think what's happened with some of my fellow Met fans is we're still in the afterglow of what was an amazing year. Hey, was an amazing year.
Takes a long time to smoke a good stogie after a fantastic year.
You would know.
Let's talk about a year. How about baseball, people?
Right. Right. But I think when you start to look closer at what this team is and what this team may be next year, the answer to your question is very complicated. They have three starting pitchers who are free agents that combine for 94 starts. So you could start right there.
Yeah.
You could say, well, the priority is how are they replacing 534 innings? Some of that may come from Senga and David Peterson. What about the rest of it? Are you bringing those guys back? Do you trust that those guys can do it again? Or are you going big game hunting on a long-term contract that may give you a stomachache for one of the top-line starting pitchers? You look at the bullpen. After Edwin Diaz, and maybe, I guess, Dednell Nunez and Reed Garrett, but I don't know, they got to build a bullpen. They got to build an entire bullpen. And then you've got the offense. Take a closer look at this offense. The first baseman, who even in a down year still produced a lot of offense, is a free agent. We don't know if he's back. The second baseman, you tell me who that is. Is it Jose Iglesias returning? Is it Jeff McNeil, who sucked in the first half of the year 2 years in a row? Who is the right fielder? Is it Starling Marte? Who is the center fielder? It's not Harrison Bader. Who is the designated hitter? And then you get to the certainties. Okay, let's talk about the certainties. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about third base and catcher. I feel really good that Francisco Alvarez will only get better. I raise my hand. I am sucking the, what do you call that you drink? The Kool-Aid.
The Kool-Aid.
I'm a Kool-Aid sucker of Francisco Alvarez. I believe he has a big year. I'm also a believer in Mark Vientos. You talk about evaluation. Mm-hmm. He proved he is one of the young emerging stars in baseball. I feel great about that. And then you've got two veterans. Francisco Lindor, and happy birthday, Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know I love you, but you're now 31 years old. Are you replicating the MVP year you had last year? Are we expecting him to replicate the MVP year he had last year?
Well, it's not going to be that far of a fall off.
I didn't say it would be.
He might not hit 33 home runs this season, but it's not going to be a fall off for Francisco Lindor. No. So I would have put him in that earlier category that you started with Francisco Alvarez, that you can guarantee he's going to have a good season. Even if he gets to a slow start or has a slumping, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks.
No. So here's where I would disagree with you. I think Vientos and Alvarez can only get better. Or they will get better. Mm. I think despite the year Vientos had, give him a full year, the confidence, the work ethic.
Did Lindor get better?
Yeah, he did. But my question to you is, when you go from a 5.5 war to a 6 war to a 7 war, maybe the best year of your major league career, and you're going to finish second or third in the MVP, is it really fair to expect him to get better from that?
I don't think that's fair to ask that. I think the problem is we look at the age, and we don't realize it is just a number, especially with training mm-hmm. and health, how these guys look after themselves. 31 isn't old anymore.
No, but I also think it's unfair to ask a guy who had one of the best years of his career to replicate the same thing.
But I think he wants that for himself.
I want it for him. 100%
he does.
I want it for him, too. And I'm not saying he's going to fall off. I don't think he's going to fall off, Teak. I just don't think it's fair to expect the same MVP year. Like, look at 23 and 22. He had good years. Mm-hmm. He was ninth in MVP voting.
Right.
He wasn't the guy.
Wasn't close.
So
last year, he was the guy.
That's all I'm saying.
Save for Ohtani, he's the best player in the National League.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Like, is it fair to expect Lindor to replicate that or, dare I say, get better? If it happens, let's have a party. I don't expect that. I think Brandon Nimmo is what he is. He could have a better year. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the greatest year last year. But the rest of that lineup all features questions.
the rotation I just laid out all features questions. This is not Evan being negative. This is Evan warning.
I mean, it sounds like you're being negative.
No, it's not. It's a warning. It's a warning to David Stearns.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Steve Cohen, and I think they know better. It's a warning to my fellow Met fans. They got a lot of freaking work to do.
Right, but
that's the warning.
I think David Stearns and Steve Cohen, they know this already.
Good.
They're aware. I mean, even though they made a run, went to the NLCS, they were still evaluating. They were still trying to make decisions about certain players. You mentioned some of them who might come back, including Pete Alonso, some who might not because of whatever the reason is. I think there is an urgency. I think the bigger point, and this is for our side of the coin, mm-hmm. is what is our now expectation for the New York Mets in 2025?
Well, I think it's based
on... No idea.
It's based on what they do in the offseason, and I think this offseason...
Right, but that's scary, because in the offseason, sure. Like you could look at an offseason and look at it on paper and say, oh, this is amazing. Yep, check. You checked all the boxes. Mm-hmm. And then once it becomes pitchers and catchers, and ultimately you get to April, it's like, this team stinks.
Oh, sure.
Right? Like, you have no idea.
But that's two steps ahead. Like, once we get to spring training, I'm sure we'll all have our strong opinions of what the team is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that this offseason needs to be a mega offseason. This needs to be, because I think what scares me, and I know it's different ownership, but I want to give you a comparison, because I think this is the biggest risk a franchise can have. And I know that some Knicks fans are bothered by their loss last night. We'll get to the Knicks coming up in about a half hour, and there's a reason why they lost last night. It's really one person's fault, which we'll get to. But I commend the Knicks. And I'm not joking. This isn't trolling. What I commend about the Knicks is they had a really fun year last year.
Right.
And you know what they did during the offseason?
They got better.
They didn't run it back.
Yeah.
They didn't say, let's rest on our laurels. We'll be fine. They tried.
Tried to get better.
Right. And ultimately, and that's the next step that you're talking about.
Right.
We'll see if it worked or not. It's too early to say that yet, but they went out and said, let's go get Mikal Bridges. Let's go get Karl Anthony Towns. What I am saying about this Met team, and it's very similar to what happened in 2000. In 2000, the Mets got to the World Series, and I knew deep down, just like I know right now sitting in front of you, that while it was a fun season and a great season, they needed to do a lot during the offseason to get back to that spot, if not go a step further. And they bleeped it up. They lost Mike Hampton, and they didn't sign A-Rod, and their big move was freaking Kevin Apier. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Now, I get it's a different franchise, but I look at this offseason very similarly to that the Mets need to do big stuff. It's not just Juan Soto. That's a great first step, but it may be Corbin Burns or Max Fried. It may be Alex Bregman. It may be an Anthony Santander. It may be a Tanner Scott. It may be three of those guys. Like, if you think the Mets can make a move here and there and just get back to what they did last year, I'm sorry. I'll tell you on November 14th, you're being delusional about mm-hmm. what you just watched. They have to have a big-ass offseason. I expect them to have a big-ass offseason, but I want it to be reminded to them and to all of us that this needs to be a mega offseason. This isn't about one player. This is about a lot of areas of a team that they need to get better at. Because they can't expect the magic of last year right. to happen again.
I mean, you're aggressive in the hot stove. It's like, I mean, what's today?
Calm before the storm,
Tiki. It's November 14th.
Calm before the storm.
Tiki, you can't have a hot stove unless you preheat it. That's what Evan's doing here.
You know what it is?
Like, seriously. But he turned it all the way up to, like, extra high.
You know why I got here?
You got to, like, simmer a little bit.
I'm going to tell you why.
Simmer down now.
I'm going to tell you why. Over the last few weeks, I've been pumping out Rico Brogniz, analyzing everything about this team. And as I've done it,
this has become
obvious to me.
Baseball nerd mind.
I don't know if enough people recognize this. Like, I recognize it because I'm studying it. Do we recognize Met fans? And this is not to put a poll on last year. It was a wonderful year. They got to do a lot to get... Do you realize that, Positive Tommy, or are you still delusional about what we just watched?
No. I'm positive that Steve Cohen's a businessman, and I'm positive that Steve saw April through September that nobody was in the building. Juan Soto gets people in the building. I think he realizes, off the goodwill of this season, that they will spend in the offseason and put a big-time product on the field.
Okay, Tommy, I want to make this clear about Juan Soto, okay? Juan Soto would excite me. Juan Soto would put a tear on my eye. Juan Soto would excite this Met fan base.
Would you go to more games if Juan Soto was a New York Met?
No, I go to the same amount of games no matter what.
I feel a
butt
coming.
But do you think that... Okay, speak for the fan, not you.
Oh, people will go to more games.
Tommy's right about that. That's what Tommy's talking about.
Okay, and I agree. Now I'm going to move it up a notch. They need to do more than just Juan Soto. Do you accept that?
I do accept that.
Because they've got holes to fill.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. So
Third base, you're right. Everything you have laid out is accurate.
Okay.
100%. It's not Juan Soto and then we see it opening day.
Like, they have a lot of things they need to add to not just get back to where they went last year, but, of course, to get further, which is the ultimate goal. Like, it was a great year. 2000 was a great year.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when that season is over, you got to self-evaluate and say, okay, well, what do we got to do to even just get back there? And to me, when you talk about 500 innings in the starting rotation that's a free agent, when you talk about all the questions on offense I laid out outside of really two positions
mm-hmm.
where I think they'll get better, two positions where they should maintain, and then five positions where you got to answer who's playing said position.
Right, second base, center field, right field.
Right?
DH.
This needs to be a very aggressive and very lucrative offseason.
Yeah, it gets really hard, though, for Steve Cohen. And more importantly, for David Stearns, because so much of their energy is going to be on Juan Soto. Now, this is why when we had our predictions of when Juan Soto was going to get signed,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking about it at real time, but now that I'm thinking back on it, I said earlier,
you
because
did?
I think teams are going to need to do exactly what you're talking about. If you sign Juan Soto, fantastic, but it can't be the only thing you do in your offseason. And if you do just sign Juan Soto, talking about the Mets or really anyone else, and you think it's now all of a sudden it's the panacea that's going to make everything perfect for you, you're wrong.
Right.
Teams aren't built like that. Championship teams aren't built like that.
They need
that.
More than that.
You need layers. Think about what the Dodgers have done over the last 3 or 4 years. It's just layer after layer after layer after layer after layer.
No doubt.
And now there's going to be another one because my guy is going to go there. Sasaki's going to go there.
Yeah, it's already a done deal in Tiki's mind.
It's a deal in my mind.
And maybe you're right. I think that Juan Soto would be the great start to this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But if you see, I think for the Yankees, it's bring back Soto and tweak.
Yes.
And by the way, that may not make a lot of Yankee fans happy. I think that's realistic, and I think they have an excellent chance by doing that to run it back and get back to a World Series. The Mets can't do that. The Mets can't add Juan Soto and tweak. They need to build an entire rotation, essentially, or at least 3/5 of it. They need to figure out first base, second base. Okay, right field's figured out. What about center field and DH? And they need to build a bullpen. There's a lot of work to do.
Are we sure they can figure all that out and sign Juan Soto?
The New York Mets?
Yes.
Well, I'm saying they need to.
I mean, so here's the thing about trusting David Stearns. So we know what David Stearns did when he was in Milwaukee. That's a small market situation. It's not the crazy amount of money to spend, and he did it very prudently, frugally in some ways. That's not the same scenario.
No, it's not.
And so he doesn't have experience doing this.
Well, but because he was never offered the opportunity.
I know, but I'm just saying he just doesn't have experience doing this.
Right, right.
Buying a Juan Soto and then spending some more money to get everybody else. It's kind of, as much as we trust him, I think intuitively, just because of how smart of a baseball mind he is, we still have to realize it's the first time doing this.
Yes, it's a different world for him.
It's a completely different world.
And you can do those other things. Like, not every addition has to be a big-time spend move.
Oh, and by the way, look what he did last year. Of course it doesn't have to be.
Right, and even so far this year, picking up guys in the bullpen that you hope you hit on.
Yes.
And the Mets have a bevy of young players, whether it's Luis Angel Acuna or Drew Gilbert or Jet Williams, who can make a big impact on those positions I just mentioned they have questions on. But this offseason needs to be massive. This needs to be, I'll give you another year comparison, Met fans, even though the team wasn't coming off the same success. I think the offseason of 04 to 05, when they went out and got the best position player in free agency, Carlos Beltran, the best pitcher in free agency, Pedro Martinez. They went balls to the wall. Now, they were trying to create something different, and the Mets aren't there. They just got to the NLCS, but they've got to kind of go as aggressive as that. If they want to get back to where they want to go, and more importantly, if you want to compete with the Phillies, who are already that good, If you want to compete with the Dodgers, who are already that good, if you want to compete with the Atlanta Braves, who are already that good, Met fans, this is the calm before the storm. This needs to be a massive offseason, and maybe this is unfair, Steve. That's my expectation. This better be a massive offseason. And unfortunately, if you're a Met fan pursuing Juan Soto, the Yankees just got some major help. We'll get to your calls next on the Mets and the Yankees and baseball and everything that's on your mind, including how aggressive this team needs to be during the offseason. But we'll also tell you how the New York Yankees' chances of signing Juan Soto increased in the last hour and a half.
And before we get to reads, I just want to let the audience know a solution or remedy for all difficulties or diseases. That is what panacea means. Thank you, Tiki Barber.
This is an educational program as well. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. There is breaking news in Major League Baseball that may have a direct impact on Juan Soto staying with the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays have reached an agreement in which the Tampa Bay Rays will play their home games at George M. Steinbrenner Field in 2025. As we all know, the hurricane, Hurricane Helene, hit Florida very hard, and the roof of Tropicana Field was destroyed. And so it came out over the last few days that to repair said roof would cost $57 million, and it wouldn't be ready in 2025.
Wow.
So the Rays had to play somewhere else, and they have decided to play at George M. Steinbrenner Field. In fact, Hal has just released a statement. The New York Yankees, we are happy to extend our hand to the Rays and their fans by providing a major league quality facility for them to utilize this season. Both the Yankees organization and my family have deep roots in Tampa Bay, and we understand how meaningful it is for the Rays players, employees, and fans to have their 2025 home games take place within 30 minutes of Tropicana Field. In times like these, rivalry and competition take a backseat to what's right for our community, which is continuing to help the families and businesses rebound from the devastation caused by Hurricane Helene and Milton. And all that is very, very true. And I'm glad they were able to work something out. I'm glad that baseball can remain in the Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they can do everything they can to help the families that, you know, have certainly been affected by those horrible hurricanes. What Hal doesn't mention in this statement, and there's nothing wrong with this, I just want to give you guys the facts here,
yep,
is that the New York Yankees are also collecting $15 million this year from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. It's just $15
million. $15 million. I want you to understand something for a second. There's nobody on the Rays that makes $15 million. Not one.
Right, so the Rays are going to pay the Yankees more than they pay any of their...
That is correct, sir.
That is insane.
In fact, one could say, and it's already out there on social media as a joke, but I'll say it out loud, the highest paid player on the Tampa Bay Rays are the New York Yankees. So, look, one thing I've learned in life is that every dollar matters. Well, the Yankees just got $15 million. They just got a check. And look, I don't want to downgrade anything Hal said, because the hurricanes are real and people were affected and jobs were lost and businesses were ruined. So everything the Yankees and the Rays are doing to help that community is admirable and amen.
Right.
Okay. And the Yankees are showing some kind of, hey, we're going to help our neighbor out. But sometimes when you help your neighbor out, you also get paid. And $15 million this season, if I'm a Yankee fan, my first reaction is that money better go to Juan Soto's contract.
Sounds like the exact amount of millions of dollars of years that Juan Soto's going to get. Little $1 million per each year to top the top offer.
I mean, you could do that. Or you could just front load that first year and say, oh, sure, you want 50? Here's 65 in year one, and you can thank the Tampa Bay Rays.
There are many ways to use it.
Or we've already allotted the money. They're going to be the highest spender on Juan Soto, and there's $15 million for Gleyber Torres. Come on.
There you go. The whole thing is so weird because my brain also went to, wow, the Rays are going to be playing at George M. Steinbrenner Field. That's so weird. But then my brain also went to, what if they make the playoffs?
Right.
What if the Rays, who are a very competent franchise, are in the World Series? Like, what if the Rays are playing the Mets in the World Series? Does that mean the 11,000-seat capacity of George M. Steinbrenner Field is going to host the World Series team?
I'm trying to think of other options, and it's not fair to travel. Say, so you went to, I don't know, Atlanta.
Nah, you can't do that.
Exactly. You can't travel.
Miami, too, you can't do.
It's unfair to the... Yeah, Miami's probably even better, even though I don't know which one is actually closer, given how long it is to get to Miami. But it's just unfair to the fan. And so the other thing you would say was, well, can you expand Steinbrenner Field down there? And you probably could, but it would be janky and ugly if you did it that quickly.
Yeah.
So that's not an option. I mean, the Major League Baseball just kind of got to hope they don't make it to the playoffs.
Well, and no one's
How
coming.
Many more people than 11,000 are they getting for a World Series game?
Well, a couple of things. The Tampa Bay Rays.
I think a lot more.
A lot more.
The Rays?
Yes, in the World Series?
100%.
If they're playing the Yankees in the ALCS, they would have 40,000
sure.
people there.
Yeah, if they're playing the Yankees in the ALCS.
Okay, well,
but this has been a big issue with the Rays the whole time. It's been a 10.
Do you know what the Tampa Bay Rays average attendance was last year?
7.
16,000.
Wow.
So they averaged 16,000. They're also in a, I got to tell you about Steinbrenner Field. I've been there many times. It's a beautiful facility.
How many does it seat?
11,000.
Oh.
And it's also a really nice outdoor baseball facility. Meanwhile, the Trop is like going to a mall. It's terrible. I've been there. It's awful.
Hard to get there.
I didn't want to leave that part out. I know the community has always said,
yeah.
Don't have it in St. Petersburg. Have it in Tampa. The stadium location's amazing. It's right next to Raymond James. Like, they're going to sell out every game. The Rays are better off at George M. Steinbrenner Field than that dump known as the Trop.
Yeah,
I'm just curious what happens in a World Series.
I also just feel, you talk about, you're right, because this is what we're not going to be able to measure. Well, I guess we will. If they sell out every game, how much money are they missing out because it's only 11,000?
Right. On the days.
Like, could they have gotten 25,000
yes,
people
on
because
the,
it's in Tampa proper as opposed to over in St. Pete across the bridge?
No question.
I mean, that's a big deal.
When they play Boston or the Yankees, they draw.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be 50,000. Obviously, that capacity isn't like that at Trop, but they get 25,000 people. So the whole thing's weird, but here's the headline for the Yankee fan. Not only can you travel down to Tampa and go to George M. Steinbrenner Field in the middle of June to see the Yankees play the Rays, but they just gave you a check. You got more money in this offseason because the Rays are handing you $15 million this year. And who knows, maybe they'll play there next year and the year after too until their new stadium is ready. So it's only added to the piggy bank of the New York Yankees in their pursuit of keeping Juan Soto. For the Mets, I want Juan Soto, but let's all be honest, it's going to take a lot more than just Juan Soto for the Mets to have that successful offseason where they can go into 25 as a legitimate world champion. Championship contender. Let's go to Trey in Morristown, New Jersey. Good afternoon, Trey.
Hey, guys. How are we?
I
agree. The goal this offseason here needs to be, unlike last year when they asked Steve Cohen about the team in spring training, he pretty much said, we're just as good as everybody else but the Dodgers. What needs to be said this year is that the team, no matter if it's Soto, Pete, whatever concoction, the team in spring training can compete for a World Series, and he has to wholeheartedly believe that when he says it. Thanks.
And I think the way to do that, and I'll give you another offseason comparison, the Yankee offseason of 8-9. They went out and got CC Sabathia, best pitcher available.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got Mark Teixeira, one of the best bats available. And they went out and got A.J. Burnett, maybe the second or third best pitcher available. That's the kind of mega offseason I'm expecting. So I'll give you a quick thumbnail then. I think you're talking Juan Soto, Corbin Burns or Max Fried, and another bat, keeping Pete Alonso. Willie Adames, some have argued for. Alex Bregman. That's the kind of offseason, and that doesn't even include rebuilding the bullpen. That's the kind of expectation I have for this offseason. And I'm not just saying that because they raised my ticket prices. I'm saying that because if you want to build off the success of last year, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But the other thing, I don't think we've... It's interesting when I hear now Met fans talking about this Pete Alonso situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now he's just one of many that you might keep.
Well, he's a free agent, man.
We got to
approach it differently.
But it felt like for the last 2 years, it was sign Pete. We need Pete. Now it's like, okay, if he goes someplace else, it's all right. Like, what happened to the emotion attached to Pete Alonso?
Okay, I want to answer that for only me because I know a lot of Met fans think differently about this.
I also feel like that's the prevailing thought.
I think the prevailing thought is that because Juan Soto is a priority.
Hmm.
And I think there's a belief of as much as we love Pete, Juan has to be the priority. Now, when you re-sign Juan Soto, if you don't sign Juan Soto, I think the discourse around Pete Alonso changes greatly. There are still going to be some Met fans who say, he's not as good. He's going the wrong way. And then there's going to be guys like me and Tommy. And I know me and Tommy are going to be on the same side on this. We're going to bang the drum to bring him back. So I think the reason why it's kind of tepid right now is because Soto is such a priority.
Right.
But once that gets figured out, I think especially guys like me and Tommy, I can't speak for every other Met fan because I think there's a lot of debate about this. I'm a Pete guy.
No, 100%. I'm a Vientos to DH, Alonso back at first base, sign Juan Soto. And you're right, Soto's the domino. Once Soto signs, then we can get into the Pete Alonso defense.
Speaking of Pete Alonso, a question was asked of me last night. I got this email, the ricob@gmail.com. And the question was, hey, Evan, have you thought, or has Tiki thought, about what you would look like right now if you never shaved your Pete Alonso beard? Now, remember, I cut that beard in late May to try to spark the Mets. It didn't really get a lot of credit for sparking the Mets for whatever reason.
He didn't sign, so theoretically, you would still have it.
I would still have the beard right now.
Don't you still have the beard, though?
I do.
Okay. So remember in Silence of the Lambs, can you just put the beard back on right now? Like glue it to your face until Pete signs?
Would you be okay with that, Tommy?
I wouldn't have an issue with it. Check with the missus, but I mean, I think that's a pretty good idea.
I don't think maybe
for a week.
He'd be sleeping in the garage.
Yes. I think you also have to ask yourself, don't you think it's going to smell? So you have to work with me.
Yeah, the smelling would be the worst for you and Tiki.
Have you opened that thing yet?
I haven't, but I know where it is. It's right next to my dead grandma and my dead cat. They're all kind of connected. Actually, not my dead cat. The ashes are gone of my dead cat. It's more a picture of my dead cat.
All right, so is the beard dead?
I think so.
Is that why you put it there? Are you considering it dead?
Yes. Yeah, I consider it past, like my grandmother. I guess it's not around anymore.
I'm wondering if there's a symbolism to that.
Is there?
I think
I'm a loser.
Those dead to him.
No.
Evan, I'm just wondering why you put it there.
No.
Why you put it there?
Or his dignity is dead because he went back on his word that he was going to keep it
great
the whole
point.
Time.
Oh, maybe that's it.
No. I cut the beard, if we're being fair about this. And again, it hasn't gotten the credit it deserves, which is fine. I'm not a man of credit. I said that day when I cut the beard, I'm doing this to spark the New York Mets. This was days before Memorial Day. A week later, they got sparked. So it took a little bit of time. So what I did worked. That's what I did work.
Okay, tell us anything.
What? Did it not work?
Tell yourself anything.
Tiki,
what did we say yesterday?
What?
You lie to yourself enough, you start believing.
Yes.
Hold on. You don't believe that cutting my beard sparked the Mets?
No, I think Francisco Lindor and Jose Iglesias sparked the Mets.
And not only that, I think cutting my beard or having my beard sparked positive Tommy, too. I think my beard takes credit for not just the Met Renaissance, but the Renaissance of Tommy Lugau.
So definitely don't throw out the beard because it is some type of lucky hair follicle. So we got to figure out something to do with it. We do. Don't get rid of that.
I think it's going to be dependent on if he signs or not. I think if he re-signs, it'll be like a happy celebration with the beard. I think if he goes somewhere else, especially to a division rival, because there's a lot of rumors about the Nationals,
we
may have a little dead to me kind of issue with the beard.
Part of that rumor is the one that Evan created, the conspiracy theory.
Oh, that's Soto going to Washington?
Yes.
No, I got Alonso going to Washington.
Oh, Alonso. Oh,
yeah. Soto to Washington, we'll see, but I've read Pete Alonso to Washington too, which would be a big issue because he's in the division. Chris is in Bay Shore. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, hi, guys. I don't know how to follow this whole beard talk, but I'll try to put something.
Do your best.
I think the Mets in the offseason, I think Guerrero's going to wind up playing first. And I think Pete's gone. I think he's going to wind up with the Cubs or the Giants. And I think that you can look forward to one big name guy like a Burns with the Milwaukee connection. And then the rest kind of piece it together. But that's how I see it falling out.
I'll tell you right now, I don't even think that's enough. And I disagree with the idea of trading for Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You're going to have to give up a lot of prospect capital for a position player that you could simply sign. You can re-sign Pete. You could sign an Anthony Santander. You can sign a third baseman. So giving up prospects to add a bat, even if that bat is better than the guys I'm talking about, it's only on a one-year deal, I would not do. So I'm not in favor of it. But that mock offseason, I got to be honest with you, is not enough. It really isn't. So if that would please you, it ain't pleasing me. I don't think that would be enough. I think they have to do more than that. Let's go to Matt in New Rochelle. How are you, Matt?
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Listen, great job, guys. Listen, I'm thinking back. I think it's a little shot you throw at the Yankees about that $15 million you're getting.
Why's that?
Listen, that's not even enough. Look at all the wear and tear on the field for all those games and the electricity and the clubhouse stuff that's happening there. Come on, you gotta wet the beak a little bit.
Well, hold on. But they're not investing the $15 million back into the stadium, are they? I don't think they're doing that. I think they're pocketing it. I think they're saying thank you. It's like they're charging rent. It's like, you're using my house, give me freaking money. That's what's going on. And I don't have any issue with it. I don't think the Yankees are doing anything wrong, per se. If anything, I'd be annoyed if I'm a Rays fan. Because if I'm a Rays fan, you know what I would say? And maybe I'm that crazy. I would say, no, we're going to Clearwater. We'll give the Phillies a check for $15 million because the Phillies are in a different league. Hmm. We're not going to help out our division rival and give them a check for $15 million. No, thank you. That's how I'd feel.
Yeah, but it's just, it's about the location.
Yeah.
They want the fans to be able to come to downtown.
Sean, camp. I understand that.
And it's a world-class facility.
Well, they also have plans for a new stadium in the existing stadium's location, right?
Yeah.
Ballpark.
In St. Petersburg.
In St. Petersburg.
Which is a terrible location.
The ground, there's no shovels in the ground yet, correct?
Mm-hmm. No shovel in the ground. I've confirmed that.
And so if they play this year in Tampa proper and just crush it, like it's sold out every game.
Right.
Do they change their mind?
Maybe.
Because a lot of people have said that. Move them to Tampa proper, you'll get much greater draw.
It's a much better location, yes.
You get a proper welcome.
Right, and it's right near... Right,
Raymond James.
Raymond James.
Yeah. Hmm. All I'm saying is they're giving a check to a division rival. Like, I get the reasons why they prefer George M. Steinbrenner Field, but that check is still money that they can use. I think it's great that the Tampa Bay Rays, the small market, we cry poverty franchise, is writing a check to the Yankees. I think that's hilarious.
What do you want the Yankees to do? Be just like, oh, it's on us. Don't worry about
it. No, I'm mocking the Rays.
We got you.
This is not anti-Yankees. I'm mocking the Rays. They're the small market. Here, oh, let's write you a check.
Here's my question, though.
It's like me writing a check to a billionaire.
We saw this agreement. The Rays, no shovels in the ground yet. It's going to cost $1 billion to fix that roof. Is this a one-year deal, or do the Rays get squatter rights? They don't pay, but they don't move out.
I think they may like being at George M. Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a good point.
Well, this agreement's for this year. They're not fixing
like,
that
why
roof.
Would you fix a stadium for $55 million? Probably more than that.
They're mm-hmm. not going to.
And then and wait. Like, fix it and then wait for... Two more years?
They're not going to. I agree with Sean. I don't think the Tampa Bay Rays
but they
will
can't
ever...
Play, they can't play in Steinbrenner Field for 3 years.
I think they can. Keep writing a check to Hal for $15 million a year.
Or they can just... they?
Yeah, why?
3 years in an 11,000-seat stadium?
Yeah, but you hit it, Tiki. They have to pay, or the city has to pay, $57 million to fix this roof, and it's fixing a roof on a temporary stadium for two more years. Hmm. They're not, is that really worth it? Is anyone in that community going to think that's worth it? They're going to say no. So they will never play another game at Tropicana Field. I agree with you. And if I had to guess, they're going to end up at George M. Steinbrenner for two more years, which means Hal's pocketing $45 million. Actually, screw it. Hal next year should say 15. Give me 20.
Hmm. I'm going to ask a further stupid question. I thought the whole point on why you weren't fixing the roof is that they couldn't go out there. It gets too hot in Tampa during the day. So why are you playing at Tropicana Field? I'm at George Steinbrenner
Field. Because there's no other option. Where else can they play?
Why can't you play
without
the Trop without the roof?
I don't think... I'm going to assume that because of the damage that was done from the hurricane, that it's not safe. Like, the roof fell off and there's still, like, beams hanging around. So I don't think, like, that process of cleaning that ballpark up and making it safe for 20,000 people to come in is actually something that they can do or is worth doing.
Got it.
Just to answer that. Bottom line is, you guys got $15 million just to let the crappy Rays play in your building.
It's like waking up the next morning and forgetting you hit a big parlay on FanDuel.
It really
is. It's great.
It's a great win. Now, Knick fans, I want to have a conversation with you. Because I understand that when you lose a game like that to Chicago, there's a few things that maybe you want to blame. You want to blame Josh Hart committing the foul that he committed, okay? Mm-hmm. You want to blame Tom Thibodeau. Like, why are you challenging an out-of-bounds play in the first quarter that's clearly not going to be overturned? Why are you doing that? How are you, if you're Carl Anthony Towns, who had a great game, it's very tough to rip cat, how are you missing the big free throws that you missed down the stretch? How's that happening? How do you fall behind by 22 to the Chicago Bulls? Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. We have an answer. This is why the Knicks had all of those bad things happen to them last night. Yankee fans, listen.
Back at the Garden, where Celebrity Rose, presented by Motorola Razr. Queen Latifah with a smile on her face. Fat Joe, always here. Crazy Knicks fan.
Fat Joe did it again! This guy jinxes the Yankees. When they play game three, tell him. Did they not show him on the scoreboard before that faithful fifth inning?
Yes, and he had a message to the team.
That's right.
And I'll go one further, Evan. Fat Joe, last night at that Knick game after they lose to the Bulls, be careful, Rutgers, because he had a big old Rutgers hat on, too. And this will be a big, big basketball year for your Scarlet Knights.
I agree. Jalen Brunson took a shot.
What's his tie to Rutgers?
Well, I don't know, but he was wearing the hat.
Wearing the hat. He might have double bang curse.
All I know is that Jalen Brunson had a shot that was in the basket, and it came out. Why'd it come out?
Fat Joe.
I mean, Karl Anthony Towns doesn't miss free throws. He's having this monster year.
Right, he's shooting 55% from three-point range.
How the hell is he missing three free throws?
Fat Joe.
How do you explain the officials? How do you, or not the officials, how do you explain Tom Thibodeau?
Fat Joe.
How do you use a challenge in the first quarter when it's never going to be overturned? How's that?
Fat Joe.
How do you explain it? The Josh Hart foul.
I'm going to tell you right now. If I hear at any point over the next week Fat Joe declare that Evan and Tiki is his favorite sports writer, I am cashing in my 401k and I'm out.
He's cursing everybody. It's unbelievable.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski, she can't walk into the Garden. Fat Joe, maybe take a break. I'm not saying he should be banned. I love Fat Joe. I think he's a legend. But he's on a bad streak. He's on a cold streak. If he was on a heater, bring him there every night. But you got to know when to walk away, too, a little bit here.
Here's the other thing. I know Fat Joe goes to the Garden a lot, okay? This is not his first time at Madison Square Garden. That's not the point. He's now bad luck.
Just in the short term, you're saying he's bad luck.
Yeah, short term, he can't show up.
He's been there for a while.
Yeah, short term.
He's there last year as well. So.
Take a month off, that's all.
And here's the proof of this. Tommy, you watched every Knick game last year. Do they lose that game last year?
No.
No!
No.
There's a million reasons why they don't lose that game. What happened to Mikal Bridges' jump shot? I know what happened. Yeah. Everything.
Even Clyde after the game, like literally to the point where Mike Breen wanted to lock out and go to the post game. Clyde's like, how did he miss that shot? How did it not go in? How did it not go in?
Fat Joe.
That's it. That's the only answer. By the way, one other thing from this game, and I thought this was very disrespectful. So I'm watching the entire game, and I've always warned you, there are things that can happen early that you forget about and it costs you the game. Now, the Knicks fell behind by 22. It's the NBA. They came out tired, flat, however you want to describe it, okay? But Tom Thibodeau decides to challenge an out-of-bounds call. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to challenge an out-of-bounds call in the first quarter, you have every right to, because remember the rules in the NBA. If you get it right, you get a second challenge. Okay. So if you get it right, no harm, no foul. But you can't get it wrong. If you get it wrong, you're dead, and you won't be able to challenge something later, like, I don't know, a three-point shot in which contact is made with hair on the guy taking the three-point shot.
Is that a foul?
So you want my answer to that?
Yes.
So I think after review, they would have upheld it, but you need to have that challenge. That's the problem. You need to give the officials chance to overturn it.
But it's hair.
Hand on the back, too. Yeah, hand on the back.
Okay.
Hair part of the uniform in the NFL, though, correct, guys?
Like
if you drag the hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in NBA, same thing, I think, probably.
They would have not overturned that call, but you need to give yourself a shot for them to overturn that call. And I'll give you a small element, very small element, but I really believe this stuff. If you have the challenge and you use it, there's a delay. Who knows what happens when Kobe White goes to take those three free throws? Maybe misses one, and everything's completely different. So Tom Thibodeau screwed up by challenging it. That's bad enough. Listen to the way the official announced that the challenge wasn't successful. I thought it was very douchey.
After review, the ball clearly touches McBride's right foot last time going out of bounds. As a result, the challenge is unsuccessful.
Hold on a second. What official says clearly?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard an official say that?
Just say it's not upheld. Whatever.
Clearly.
The challenge is denied or whatever you say.
He said clearly.
Clearly it's touched his foot, coach. You're a moron.
He should have thrown that in. I couldn't believe when I heard that.
That's great. The
whole build-up to the challenge was funny because Clyde was bitching about it, which he should, and Breen was defending the Knicks by saying, hey, you know, Clyde, they had a big challenge the other night. Give him some credit. They know what they're doing. And Clyde's like, I don't give a crap. What are we doing here?
This doesn't seem smart.
This is a dumb challenge. And then the official decides to spike all over Tom Thibodeau's face by saying, clearly, I have never heard. Play that one more time. Clearly.
Yeah, give me one second.
Clearly.
After review, the ball clearly touches McBride's right foot last prior to going out of bounds.
I mean, he's mocking Tom Thibodeau.
It was very, very passive-aggressive. We're all married here. We know that. By the way, did you see this thing? It's going viral now. If you're watching the game, you're in the arena.
The cat stuff?
The kiss cam thing.
No, I didn't see that one.
So a guy was there, I assume with his girlfriend or wife, and they showed him on the kiss cam. Normally you go for a kiss.
Right.
He went for something a little
different. What'd he do? He grabbed?
Fuck to it.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
We can't fully describe, but he grabbed his girlfriend or wife's head.
Oh, and
you know, it's just, you know, it's, to be fair, it says kiss cam. It's not really specific on what type of kiss.
No, don't defend him.
So it's gone viral, and I assume it was his girlfriend. I don't know. They were sitting next to each other.
How quickly did the Garden cam flip away?
No, they showed, like, they were laughing after it.
Did they really?
They got a good giggle in, the couple did, and then I think the cam operator realized what had just happened.
Okay, so the cam operator was taken by surprise, didn't know what to do.
Yeah, what are these two doing?
Oh!
I don't think I've ever seen that. Now, that sets up for other people on their Kiss Cam. The next two people had to be like, what do we do to top this?
Well, yeah. To be fair, the Kiss Cam has been around for 20 years. It took 20 years for somebody to do this.
I'm
surprised if this is the first time that it's gotten lewd.
That lewd?
Yeah.
I've seen other lewd stuff, but not that.
You know why? Because a lot of these arenas do actors for Kiss Cam.
No. So you think that was a fix?
No, I don't think this was a fix. I think that's why we haven't seen it. There's a lot of times it's staged.
So it's pre. It's pre.
This is a natural, real fans.
The popular stage one, Teak, is that, like, okay, so you're there with a girl, and there's another girl on your other side, and they put you and one girl on to camera, and then she, like, pushes you away and makes out with the guy next to her.
Yeah, that one obviously is staged. It's the handhelds that do this, right? The handhelds are the ones that are getting the Kiss Cam, or is it
like the guys holding the camera?
Yeah, they're like in the stands.
Yes, usually.
So, I mean, you're told before, right? We're going to do a Kiss Cam, right?
I guess that's the secret sauce.
Right, that's the secret sauce.
Unless you just go to the stairs and pan the crowd, then zoom in on them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how they shoot it.
Because
if it's the handhelds, then the people are definitely told. But if it's not the handheld...
It may not be, though, because when we were at the Yankee World Series game, BT's son got on, and it wasn't a handheld.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the Knicks went a little too rogue there.
Right. Yeah, well, I think the guy or the gal who was filming was taken by surprise, because who expects that to happen?
Disgusting, vile
people. Yeah, it's disgusting.
The Mario test.
The other thing that
happened... By the way, we could also assume they're not married.
Right.
That's your best line.
That's a good point. The other thing that happened, and I'll be the bad guy.
I'm going to tell your wife you said
that. She's like, no, I know.
She'll
confirm it. The other thing that happened, and I will gladly be the bad guy, because I know this is not a popular opinion to have, but it's the truth. And sometimes you need that guy to just tell you the truth, even if you think that guy is trolling and hating. So last night I did watch this live, okay? I was watching the Knicks postgame show because I love to kiss tears or drink tears. CP, the franchise, same thing. Love the guy. I was listening to their post-game show. He wasn't on it, but I drank the tears up. And I wanted to see Alan Hahn cry. Like, I like Alan. I have great respect for him. But when he cries on post-game, oh, God. Monica McNutt, the other guy, what's his name? Tarico? Not Tarico. Who's the other guy?
Pito.
I love seeing everybody upset. So I'm watching the Knicks post-game, and Monica, who does a great job, by the way, Karl Anthony Towns is standing behind her shooting free throws. This became a very viral thing. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, come on, bro. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Jimmy Butler taught you to do that, bro. You knew the camera was going to be on, so you're kissing the ass of New Yorkers. You don't need to. You've been great. Karl Anthony Towns has been a brilliant basketball player to watch. I give him all the credit in the world. But that was too much, man. He knew what he was doing, shooting the free throws after the game. And then, like, he's asked about it, and you can just... The whole thing was staged.
You're accusing Kat of fake hustle.
Yes!
How dare you?
Yes!
How dare you? Getting extra minutes in after a game, after a tough loss like that, how dare
Tommy,
you?
Tommy, he knew where the camera was shooting.
Oh, stop it.
Why doesn't he go to the other side?
He's not a professional wrestler. He doesn't know where the camera
is. Maybe he was
just
on that side.
Exactly.
Tiki.
Thank you,
Tiki.
Why can't you give the guy the benefit of the doubt? Because I've been here for, I don't know, 3-4 weeks.
Because it's obvious what was happening. Jimmy Butler used to do this crap all the time, and he learned that in Minnesota. Let's show the media something. The fans will love it. And I get why you do love it. What you should really love is that he's been awesome. Like, he's been great. I have no negative things to say about Cat on the floor, even missing the free throws. Like, it happens. You know what I mean? And at the end of the game, I think he was winded, but he gave you everything. He was awesome. He's been great. Like, I got nothing bad to say about the guy as a player and even as a human. I can see through it.
Yeah.
You guys can't see through it because you're in the honeymoon stage. Dude, that was so fake. Come on.
Absolutely not. It's called, you're the first to get in there and you're the last to leave. And
Tommy.
I've heard interviews with Karl Anthony Towns where he says, because Shaq and Charles always get on his work ethic and they've brought this up where it's fake hustle. There's a reason he's such a great shooter. It's because he puts the work in.
Tommy, no one's saying he doesn't work hard. That was fake work hard.
You're such a... You are... Yeah, I love these little conspiracy theories you come up with. Like Karl Anthony Towns knew where the camera was post-game.
Yes.
And he's like, you know what? I'm going to go out there because his free throw shooting had nothing to do with anything. So why would he do that? What does he have to gain?
Of course
it
did. He missed a few free throws in the game.
No, but what does he have to gain?
They lost by 1 point. What are you saying? He didn't have anything to do with it.
What does he have to gain by this other than having haters or somebody being a cynic? I won't even call you a hater. A cynic... Getting after him.
Because no one's going after him. Everyone around here loved it. I get it. No,
correct.
You should. So I'm the one guy. Of course, I'm the guy to do it because, you know, I'm the guy in the coalition of Knick haters.
The leader, yes.
No, but I see through this crap. You guys are just, you're fanboys. And so I can see through that. No offense, man.
No, you know what? Especially what we got tomorrow night. I would just, you know,
I would
bite
call
your
my,
tongue a little bit.
Teak, I'd call my own team out if I saw that happen. I would.
I mean, can't you just give him credit?
I give him credit for fooling all of you. I do.
Okay, but even if he was setting it up, he was still doing it.
That's the best point.
Right?
That's a great point. Even if it is fake, he's still proud. You're right.
Just leave him alone.
But he's still doing it.
Okay.
And he fooled everybody.
Who cares why he's doing it? He's still doing it.
I respect that answer. That's not what he said. That's not what every other Knick fan will say. They'll say, shut up. You're just being a hater. I'm not being a hater. Can you see through this stuff? Jimmy Butler did that all the time.
No, this is your wrestling brain. This is like Mick Foley being like, it's great to be back here on Long Island. You think he's trying to get a cheap pop with Knick fans?
Yes.
That's what you think he's getting?
Yes.
And Mick, obviously, from Long Island. But still, like, come on.
Yes.
No. I don't think it's a cheap pop. I think it's a great shooter getting that extra work in after the
game. I don't know if I should ask Sean his opinion because, of course he's going to agree with me. And that's not going to help my point at all. So I got nothing to gain with this. But you've been so good today. This first hour has been some of your best work. Do you agree with my Carl Anthony Towns conspiracy theory?
Of course I do. He's got a lot of Bryce Harper Philly in him.
Oh!
That's not true because Kat's from around here. And Harper, obviously, Cowboy fan pandering to Eagles.
I was told Kat already purchased Spike Lee underwear. Like, that's how much he's trying here. Stop it.
You know what? You should accept that compliment because if he turns out to be Bryce Harper, Bryce has been a great Philly. I know they haven't won anything, but they've gotten a World Series.
He has, by the way. I mean, thank God for Kat. The Knicks really needed a number one star like this to carry them.
Bryce Harper has manipulated that fan base, which they are very easily to manipulate because they're all idiots, but I don't want anybody to be Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is a phony. He's a Cowboys fan. He's pandering. Kat is a local guy.
Oh, you don't think that was pandering?
No.
Okay.
Boy, okay. You're a bad guy. You're a bad guy.
I'm saying what other people don't want to say.
Okay. Whatever.
That's all I'm doing. We'll come back. We'll get back to your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And we talked about yesterday how Aaron Rodgers says he wants to keep playing. There's a big split among the Jet community on if they want him back. Well, if you don't want him back and he wants to keep playing, we have to find Aaron Rodgers a home he wants to be at. We'll try to figure out where Aaron Rodgers can play football in 2025 if it's not the Jets. Plus more on the Mets, Yankees, Carl Anthony Towns fooling all of you. And we take you through this beautiful afternoon at 888-808-1019.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.